Mark chapter number 10 this morning again. We'll go further in our study, preaching through the gospel according to Mark. I think we're over 60 messages now in the gospel of Mark. I hope you're enjoying our study. Had a great weekend last weekend. I scared to death, to be honest with you, in my flesh about what we preached last Sunday morning. Not because I'm scared to preach, but you just never know how things are going to be taken. And I've been accused of saying things I didn't say or meaning things I didn't mean. And I didn't have any of that. In fact, there were miracles done here last Sunday morning as a result of that message. And as best I can tell, as far as online, we've not had a message listened to and repeatedly listened to more than last Sunday's message, Sunday morning's message. And that tells me these folk that want help with their homes and with their families. And I thank the Lord for that. And so we're going to go a little further in it this morning. If the Lord will help us, stand with us if you're willing and able. I know time's getting away from us. That's why I've got a message that's only 3 hours long. All right? Verse 13 said, "And they brought young children to him." The him is none other than Jesus. "That he should touch them." Interesting. The Bible said, "And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he done for them more than even these that brought them desired, the Bible said, and blessed them. They came saying, "Would you just touch them?" He said, "I'll pick them up, I'll touch them, and I will send them on their way blessed by the hand of God." I'm going to preach on this thought this morning, if the Lord will help us. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, this morning, how we need the help of the Lord again in this place. I pray, Lord, that you'd send it. Thank you for these testimonies, the exhortations, the challenges, the songs that have been sung, the prayers that have been prayed, Lord, long before we even got to this place. Lord, we're thankful for the prayers that have been prayed in this place. Lord, we ask you now that, Lord, you would allow the Lord Jesus to be magnified. Send the word and the gospel message out to sinners, Lord, that are in our gathering this morning. Lord, there may be parents here that, Lord, have never truly been born again. Lord, may be grandparents that are here that have never truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, there may be those of our own children and grandchildren in flesh and blood or acquaintances today that, Lord, do not know your Son as the only wise God, the Savior of souls. And I pray this morning that, Lord, that word would be preached and would go out. And, Lord, a convicting work and a saving work would happen here today. I pray, Lord, for those that are saved, would you encourage us and challenge us today, Lord, in our responsibilities. And we'll bless you and praise you for all the ways you excite us unto yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I guess of all the songs I've ever learned and have ever been taught and sung, I can go back as far as I can in my memory, likely maybe even the first would be the old Sunday school song we teach our children, "Jesus loves the little children." And I'm glad that he loves all the children of the world. It matters not, red and yellow, black and white. The song said they are precious in his sight. And that song simply ends saying, "Jesus loves the little children of the world." We consider the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus as we're studying it according to the writing and record of Mark as he penned it down. One thing is clear, that children seem to always show up in the Lord's earthly ministry. He didn't just come to minister and preach to kings. He did not just come to deal with the religious and the well-known and the popular and the famous of his day. The Lord Jesus had time, and the Lord Jesus emphasized the fact that he wanted to have an impact in the lives of children. It is children, that seem to have a special place in the heart and ministry and life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're told even in the Old Testament that children are an heritage of the Lord. The fact that God views children in a very special way, unlike the generation we're living in, where they desire to murder them and abort them and have their blood shed before they even come out of the womb. Jesus would not get along with this generation and their mentality and their treatment of children in this hour. Children are nothing more to many folk in this day than a tax write-off and some way to get another hand-me-down from the government. But Jesus looks at children. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm feeling like preaching right now. Jesus has a different view of children than this world does. Many parents in our day have reached a place that Paul wrote about, that they would leave natural affection. That they have left off even the maternal and paternal God-given love that God puts in their heart toward their children. Their children are nothing more than a means to an end. But Jesus loves the little children. These, my friend, that men and women and fathers and mothers abandon and, my friend, mistreat and lead in ways of sin and vileness and perversion of themselves. My friend, Jesus truly loves the little children. I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful today for these verses that are before us that shine and shout aloud very clearly. And in simple terms, it matters not what the world thinks. It matters not what the church thinks. It matters not the treatment they receive from others. And our Savior loves the little children of the world. And if Jesus loves little children, we ought to love little children. It's sad in our day. I don't mean to give personal. Some of y'all need to have it made personal. But it's a shame how people use children to try to accomplish their own end and their own desire. Amen. I'm sick of it in our day, in our generation. It's amazing. I got to move on. It's amazing these verses take place after the subject of marriage has been dealt with, that we dealt with on last week. And now the Lord brings us, and the Spirit of the Lord brings Mark to write about children, which is to be the product of marriage. And we can go to the book of Malachi, where the question is asked, wherein has God made twain one? Why does God bring a man and a woman together in the bonds of marriage and in the bonds of matrimony? And the Lord answers that question, and there's a lot of answers that could be given, and a lot of reasons and a lot of things that come out of a God-joined marriage. But God said one of the greatest things that have come out of that is that it will produce a seed that will be holy, and through the bonds of that marriage and in the confines of that home, there will be a seed raised in them children that will know God, that will love God, that will be saved, and that will, for the glory of God, be raised in one day. They'll have their own marriage and their own family, and there'll be more holy seed spread across the land. Amen, amen. Listen, our children are from God. Children are a gift of the Lord, not to be raised in sin, not to be raised in debauchery, it would blow your mind. It would blow your mind. And I'm not even dealing within the realms of the world. I would speak to you today from my own experiences as being a pastor and dealing with people's lives. How many parents have introduced their children to pornography and to drunkenness and to vileness and to cursing and swearing and dirty joke telling and on and on and on. And these are people that claim to love their children, but they know nothing of the love of God. They know nothing of the love that Jesus has for the ones they claim to love. Jesus truly loves the little children. Today in our society, we need to understand that our children are a gift from God to be pointed to the Lord. Our society, Brother Tim told on it, he testified of it, has taken children and warped their minds. Amen. They don't love the children. Gavin Newsom in his debate with Governor DeSantis some time ago claimed that he loved children and claimed that he loved families, had claimed that he was on the side of parents, but nothing could be further from a Christ-like love. He may proclaim that he loves the up, but it's just words. It's just words. Amen. Jesus loves the little children that, and families and parents and societies and structures in our worldly system would do well to follow the example of Jesus and love children like Jesus loves them. You don't love them when you abandon them. You don't love them when you make life hard on them. You don't love them when you force them into situations that no children ought to have to bear up under. And I'm glad this morning, amen, if parents don't love their children and society don't love their children and even churches don't love their children, I'm glad today Jesus loves the little children. He's willing to scoop them all up in his arms. He's willing to help them and love them unto himself. Himself. Jesus loves the little children. How we doing? This is the introduction, and I ain't even got no introductory notes. I'm just giving it to you how the Holy Ghost said. You need to understand Jesus loves the little children. Let me give you three things out of the text quickly. I'll be done. Number one, the parental ambition. In verse number 13, the whole context centers upon the opening line of verse number 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. The ambition was to get their children. It would appear to me that maybe they're not all parents, maybe. Maybe there's some grandparents in the crowd. Maybe there are some other family members that have brought some children of the family there that day. But it would appear to me from studying this that most likely it is parents and grandparents that have brought these particular little children to the Lord. The ambition that they have was to get their children close enough to Jesus that they might be blessed by his touch. I want my friend to connect their seed to the Savior. They've not come, my friend, to a ball organization to plead the cause why their child or grandchild should be the next superstar picked on the team. They've not, my friend, appealed to some educational facility to appeal to them to accept the application of their child or grandchild that they might be educated in the realms of diplomas and degrees and accolades among the academics of society. These are parents and grandparents with a spiritual ambition. These are those, they don't have a bumper sticker on the back of their car that says soccer mom.
These are moms and dads and grandparents and grumps, hallelujah, and have an ambition, Brother Tim, that is spiritual in nature. They understand the society that they're living in. They understand the way in which the Roman government is going and the hardships represented in so many ways of that society. And if their children had any hope at all, if their children were going to make it, then my friend, it would require a touch from the Savior's hand. Yes, sire, it's amazing that in the realms again of the church, there are so many parents and grandparents whose ambitions are geared toward so many carnal ways and temporal ways and earthly ways. I'm not even talking about sinful, but nothing spiritual about the ambitions for their children. These parents, these grandparents brought their children to the Lord, desiring that He would simply put His touch on their life. Three things about these parental ambitions and their desire. I want to say, number one, I see in the text the godly example of these parents. You say, what do you mean? The Bible said, and they brought young children to Him. The idea here is supposes at least two things in my mind meditating upon this. Number one, that they knew Jesus for themselves. They knew Him. They knew who He was. They knew what He was able to do. They had heard Him preach for themselves. They had watched Him touch others for themselves. They maybe had felt His touch upon themselves. They knew Jesus for themselves. And the fact of the matter is, they brought these little children to Him. Supposes, secondly, that they knew how and where to find Him. Amen. I want to make a statement this morning. You'll never be able to get your children to Jesus if you have not gone to Jesus yourself. There is a godly example of these parents. Do your children, let me ask you, Grandpa, let me ask you, Grandma, do your grandchildren know that you know Jesus? Do they know that you spend time with Him? Do they hear you talk about it? Yesterday, my son-in-law called me in late morning. He said, first of all, he called me. I was visiting with Brother David, and I let it go to voicemail, and he left me a stupid Chinese-sounding voicemail. Hey, man, that's just my son-in-law. You got to overlook some of his weird ways. But he said in there in the Chinese voice, I need you to call me back regarding your relationship to your grandchildren. Hey, man, well, you ain't got to tell me twice. I already kind of felt like it was about ready to be a good day, Brother Jack. So I called him. He said, I know it's last minute. He said, can you get over here? I'd like to take Tori on a date and let you watch the kids for us. And he said, now, if it ain't too much, I said, you stop that. I'll be there. You tell me when you want me to be there. And so I went, and Mary and the girls went with me. And so it's a good day yesterday. Been a few months since I've been able, Brother Mo, to take Jenna on a walk. That's what we do. Hey, man, we get outside. We walk up the driveway, and we stand at the top of the road, and we pick up rocks and sticks and bugs and leaves, and we carry on, and all the way walking up, all the way walking back, I tell her about the Lord. I tell her about the day that God saved me. I tell her, I'm letting her know, I'm praying the day will come that you're going to come to this knowledge of your own nature of sin and your own sinfulness, and that the Lord's going to speak to you and the Lord's going to save you. You say, that youngin' doesn't even understand all of that. I don't know what she understands. I don't know how much of that she can even comprehend. My friend, she'll think back as she gets older and she'll remember since the day I can remember my grump been telling me about the Lord. He been telling me about that one that had touched him one day and saved him one day and then loved me and would speak to me and touch me one day. What am I doing? I'm trying to set a godly example through my own relationship with the Lord. Amen. Do you have that? Or do all your grandchildren hear you do is cuss and rail and gossip? All your children hear you do, amen, beat and bang, punch holes in the walls. I'm going to tell you something, amen. I'm going to tell you something Brother A.L. said in his prayer, Lord, teach us to go beyond ourselves. Help us go beyond ourselves today. Amen. When you have children and grandchildren, life ceases to be about you. It ceases to be about, amen, what life looks like for you. And it becomes at all time that divine weight of responsibility that I must be a godly example to my children. Amen. Amen. And don't get mad at me now. I love you. But I'm going to tell you something. These folk won't be faithful to church. You're going to reap that one day. You're going to reap that one day. Amen. Down the line, you'll reap that. Amen. By way of not living a godly example in your life before your seed. Amen. Do they ever hear you talk about the Bible? Do they ever have any awareness that you're praying for their soul? Parental ambition, the God, the example of these parents, they knew Jesus for themselves. There's a lot of mamas and daddies will not be able to lead their children to salvation because they themselves do not know the Lord. Notice the gentle leading of these parents. The Bible said and brought young children, literally meaning to bear towards, to lead to tenderly. It implies to offer or to present in this instance. And they're doing that to Christ. They did not drag them to Jesus. They did not force their will upon them. Rather, my friend, there was a gentle leading of their life. There was an understanding of these children and their need and where they were in life and how to lead them. I've had six children, and I'm telling you, not a one of them have had to be led the same way. It's amazing. Got the same daddy and the same mama. Six different personalities. Six different levels of stubbornness. Amen. And it takes a parent gently leading their children the way that their children need to be led. It deals with simply this, that they were leading their children, they were bearing their children toward the Lord. In other words, the example that they were setting, they were gently bringing along their children to the Lord. If your children follow you, where are they going to wind up in? You can get mad at me. You can cuss me when everything's done. I can take it. Some of y'all are going to lead them to jail. They follow you, they're going to wind up in jail. Come on. They're going to wind up in divorce court. Get mad at me. They're going to wind up away from God and no interest in God and no dedication to God because you are not bearing them toward the Lord. Life's all about you. It's amazing. Oh, dear God, I don't mean to get mean about it. I feel like I'm being mean all the time to y'all. But y'all know it's right. The fact that parents are so stuck on themselves. Amen. Tell you what, we better get concerned about. What direction are we bearing them toward? If they follow my lead, will they come to know the Lord? I understand, in this text has nothing to do with the salvation of these particular young children. I understand that. It has nothing to do with that. There comes a time that they must accept Christ for themselves. Amen. They must put their faith by their own free will into a God and into the Savior Jesus Christ, who alone can save them. But listen, if they're going to follow my lead, I at least want them to end up in the feet of the Lord, where they can have an opportunity to be saved. I know. Well, listen, we can't make them get saved. That's the point of the point. Amen. A gentle leading, we can't make them get saved. We can't force their hand to make a profession. If you do, you'll wind up making a twofold more the child of hell than you are. Say amen. Amen. See, we got this crowd of parents. They want no interest in God, or at least go to church on Sunday and live like a drunkard and a pillhead and a fornicator and a vile person. Amen. And then claim to know the Lord. And what they're doing, they're leading their children into that same kind of way. You know what they'll raise? They'll raise pillheads and drunkards and fornicators that'll say a prayer and claim to be saved and not have anything real on the inside. I've got some parental ambition in my life, and my children will have more than that. I want them to know God, Brother Tim. I want them to walk with God. I want them to love God. I want them to serve God. I want them to live the very, very best life they can live. In fact, it's my parental ambition that my children would go even further than mom and dad have gone. In a right direction. You got any ambition like that? Amen. I can preach to grandparents now. I am one. They all used to get mad at me before I've become a grump. Now you can't get mad at me. I'm one of y'all. We got a weight of responsibility. Amen. That has dawned on me in the last 16 months. That is a heavy weight. Paul told Timothy, he said, now your mama had something to do with that faith you received. And let's not forget your grandmother Eunice. Amen. She is teaching you since you was just a little baby on her knee. That holy scripture, that holy book, amen, which was able to make thee wise unto salvation. What was she doing? What was Timothy's grandmother and mother doing? They were leaning, they were bearing their child to the Lord. Amen. Say, I don't like this. Well, you walked in the door. You come here and it's what you hear. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody better start taking a gentle spiritual lead again. Amen. Notice with me the grave determination of these parents. I don't know where they came from. Jesus, when you study this out, according to last week, I got to hurry. Lord, I may have to make this a two-parter. Amen. I ain't got much, but I'm just getting carried away. Amen. When we do understand, according to the context of last week, that Christ is kind of in a no man's kind of land and area. He's just crossed over the Jordan River near the realm of Jericho and where it is. And yet people are flocking to him. They're coming, and the verse would teach they brought. It means they came and they kept on coming. They brought and they kept on bringing these children just from everywhere, as though there was a great multitude coming from long distances. Though the road may have been miserable. And in the text we read of the rebukes that may have been many. These parents kept bringing their children to Jesus. I'm telling you, we've heard about it this morning. We're living in a generation and a day that it is harder than it's ever been to raise children. Amen. I'm talking about if you sold out. I'm talking about if you truly love God. I'm talking about if you love the Bible. I'm talking about if you love the secret place. Amen. It's hard enough to raise children without me adding, because of my own stupidity and my own sinfulness, adding on things that make it harder than it already is. These parents, they kept on going and kept on walking and were never satisfied. It didn't matter the obstacles that were in the way. It didn't matter how many long miles that they had to walk. It didn't matter how many people stood in opposition to them. They were willing to guard this ambition that they had for their children to get them to the Lord Jesus. Didn't matter who they made mad along the way. If you weren't for the spiritual ambition they had, they'd run you over so they could get their children to Jesus. I've made up my mind, and I'm going to gently lead my children, and I pray they know that. Amen. Amen. We think maybe Sam will get married this year. It's still yet to be determined. Announcement made. Cat's out the bag. He ain't asked for it, and she ain't said yes, so we'll see how that ends up. Down to two in my home, minus Sam. Sam counts, but he don't count. I just made up my mind in these days. I want to guard them in that spiritual ambition. I've tried to do it with all my children, probably failed in a lot of ways, got distracted, got discouraged, have got sidetracked or overlooked or wasn't as vigilant as I should have been. The older I get, I realize that we must be grave in our determination. We must be willing to stand up to anybody and anything and to the society we live in and say, you can't have my children. You can't have my children. I'm raising them in a direction that is against the way that the society would have them to go. And of all the voices that are calling out the girls this morning and all the voices that are crying out, our sons and our daughters and our grandsons and granddaughters. We need parents and grandparents that are determined. I will not drop the standard. I will not remain silent. I'll cry out against what needs cried out against. I'll stand against anyone or anything. I will, for the sake of my children, guard the gate of their spiritual life. Amen. Oh, how we need that. Oh, how our children need this. The children that we say we love, that Jesus no doubtedly loves, are worth all the opposition. They're worth the sleepless nights. They're worth the all-night prayer meetings with the Heavenly Father. Are you listening? You say, what in the world are you talking about? That's the problem. No determination that gets a hold of the horns of the altar that says in this world they're living in and is discouraging them and depressing them and driving them away from God. Somebody's got to get determined. They were grave in their determination. Oh, that God would raise a generation of days that are like they of this text. Amen. That have an ambition simply to say, I desire, but I need to get my children for the presence of the Lord connected to Him. Amen. See, you can teach your children a lot of things, and you should. But only the touch of Jesus will change their heart. So I'm going to keep bailing them out. It won't work. Say, but I love them. What do you expect me to do? Let them hit rock bottom. Might be the best thing could happen to them. Amen. I don't want to be too personal today. My family business is my family business. We live in a glass house. Most folk know our business anyway. There's stands I've had to make. Say, you can't do that and live under this roof. And I love you. Say, but where are they? The Lord knows. You listening? It breaks a parent's heart to have to say them things. But I'm telling you, you know what I've seen through 20-something years of pastoring? I've watched parents and grandparents, by the way, try to bail people out, and they just get worse and worse and worse and worse. If you've done everything you can do to get them to Jesus, that's the only thing you can do. If Jesus, if you don't get them and they are not willing to accept that connection of Jesus to their life, they'll remain the same sinful shape they're in, and they'll keep breaking your heart and disappointing you over and over and over and over. Listening? Sometimes you just got to say, only one going to fix him or her is a touch from the Master's hand. Jesus can't touch some of them because we got them so guarded and protected from hurting their little self. Amen. Say, but if I don't, they'll hurt himself. A lot of this guilt trip junk. I've done messed this message up. A lot of this guilt trip junk. I'll go kill myself. I'm going to tell you, my youngins ain't going to threaten me. Are you listening to me? They ain't going to threaten me and trick me and deceive me into going against what that book says by manipulating my emotions. If you do that, I'll go hurt somebody else. Well, bless your little spoiled, rotten heart. Amen. Well, we gotta watch over them. We gotta show them the love of the Lord. That's what I've been doing for all these years. They get into a place they don't want it, and they want to live in sin. They want to live in a way that is destroying their own life. The only thing I can do in that point, Brother Riley, and pray to God, I pray to God you don't ever have to go through some of that. I've learned the only thing you can do sometimes is say, Lord, I've brought them to you and laid them at your feet. I've brought them and taught them as far as I can. The only thing that will change them now is my spiritual desire and ambition that God would touch their heart. Is there any grandparents in here today? I didn't realize all this when I was a parent. I'm a grandparent now. I see things a little bit different. But Jack, am I telling it right today? I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I'm telling you, I've tried to live that book and love that book and pray. I've tried to talk about it with them going up and down the road. I don't claim. In fact, I would probably have to say I've gotten more failures than I'd care to admit. Wouldn't claim to be the best parent in the room or in the country today. I'm telling you today, a lot of failures and faults, but it has always been my ambition and my desire, amen, to point them to the Lord and to be an example of what it is, a love and to serve the Lord. And then it has come with determination. There have been days it have been easy to roll over and quit. It have been days it have been easy to say, Lord, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth the miles. It ain't worth all living and all the headache. And these teenagers are driving me out of my mind. But you know what you do? You get up the next night and you have your time with God and say, God, if you don't do it, and there's times when there's just little babies, they wouldn't even know it. They wouldn't even remember it. They're so young. And in them toddler years, we sneak into their room while they're sleeping and lay up beside their bed and hold their little hand and say, dear God, this is the heritage of the Lord in my life. And Lord, I don't know what is going to come, and I don't know what lies ahead, and I don't know what stumbling blocks are going to be. But Lord, help me never to fail them in pointing them and leading them and teaching them. But dear God, you have to put your touch on them. told all my children since they were born, they've been given to God. Privately and personally and publicly as a testimony before the church. Here's what I believe, Brother Tim. They may all turn, lose their minds and walk away. Say, I ain't serving God. I ain't going the Bible way. I ain't interested in the will of God. And they may go to the world, but here's what I've told every one of them. You run away from what you've been committed to. There'll be a preacher on a street corner somewhere, out of every honky-tonk you come out of, saying you got to repent of your sin. And every time you turn the TV on, there'll be somebody may not even have all their doctrine right, and he'll be saying something about the Bible and something about God's way. I've committed my children to that way. Oh, that's the desire of my heart, that they would not be able to live the days of their life without the touch of God. And if it's just in the middle of the night and all the buddies have gone away and all the parties are over and all the activities have been lived down and pleasure's been found in them, and when they're all alone in the midnight air, the touch of the Savior would come again, amen, and meet them where they are. Why? Because I've been too determined about that to keep on praying, amen, to believe that God is not and will not work on the other end. Yes, sir. I'm not setting myself as the example, but I find in this crowd some things that are deep on my heart in these days. Amen. Some of you old timers, you could have never dreamed America would become what it is today. I ain't half as old as Mike Sutherland is. And I'm 44. I ain't half as old as he is. Amen, Brother Carl. I stand amazed some days. The craziness, the insanity. I hope this don't bother you. The demonism. Oh, it's crazy and it's insane, but it's deeper. The demonism. The clutches of hell upon a nation, upon a generation. Somehow, some way, they have convinced an entire generation of young people there are no absolutes. There is no such thing as truth, just your truth and my truth. They have convinced, as parents and grandparents have sat by, uninvested, uninterested, uninvolved, convincing them they can't trust the Bible, there is no God, live your life the way you want to live it. But that girl deserves some parents, grandparents that say, we'll arise, we'll be involved, we'll be informed, we'll speak out, we'll grab her in the midnight hour and pray the grace of God upon her life. In this wicked culture, somebody will have touched Jesus to touch them. I don't know about you. It's the greatest desire I think I have right now. It gets more and more, Brother Larry, more and more on me. Every trip I make to Maryville. Think about what they got to grow up in. And it's a long ride. It's an hour and 15 minutes one way. I ain't made it every week, Brother Jack. But it's been my ambition to get there every week of my life. I ain't been there every week, but there has been some weeks I've been 2, 3, and 4 times. Hour and 15 minutes one way. Y'all been to Knoxville? You know how crazy that'll make you? So why you go? Why you go? Why you go so much? I can sit down, tell them youngins, be around and be an influence. Just to say, Jesus, these are the ones you love. I love them enough to sacrifice however I need to. Exemplify to them there is a way to God. God help us. God help us. This world's gobbling them up. This world is doing all it can. It take all our young men around here, all our little children. If the world had their way, it would addict them to dope, make them drunkards, sodomites or fornicators, perverts. It hooked them on pornography. And by the way, they're trying right now as early as 5 and 6 years old. Are we still live? I don't give a flying monkey's hind end what these organizations run around talking about. Y'all trying to ban books and all, you trying to ban books. That's because they have pornography in them.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Better believe we're trying to ban it.
Absolutely. Amen.
You better believe it ought to be banned.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
The world, if it had its way, would take our little daughters, put needle marks up and down their arms, stand them on a street corner, selling their body for their next high. Run them through the ringer and through the gutter and leave them in a ditch somewhere if the world had their way. I tell you, parents and grandparents and church, we better get a burden to love the children that Jesus loves enough to be like these. And get them to the touch of the Savior. Well, that's the first point. It's the hardest point, I think. Maybe we need to just come, stop, and pray a while. Let's stand together. This altar's open.